Okay, so I guess you can hear me. So welcome to one of the last sessions during this very nice week. We are located here in this very beautiful country, Spain. And this has to do with one of my passions, with one thing that I really like, and this is cybercrime. Of course, maybe this doesn't sound very well, because I don't mean that I like cybercrime, of course. I mean that I like researching cybercrime and finding exactly what the attackers, what the bad guys are doing against us, and by this knowledge, we can, of course, improve our defense. So welcome, my name is Thanasis Diogos. I'm working at Microsoft for the last 7 years, and here is my session, which is called Cybercrime Practical Overview. So, what is this all about? The first thing that I notice a lot is that everybody talks about it. Everybody talks about cybercrime. As you can maybe see in my description of the session, it's on the news, everywhere on the television, on social networks, everyone is talking about a new hack, a new cybercrime, more money that were stolen from banks, from credit cards, and all that stuff. So it's everywhere. But for us, that we are IT pro peoples, we need to know some more. We need to know some more in order to be able to protect our customers, our networks, our whatever environment we are supporting. So through this session, I will try to show you some of the techniques and the tools that are being used by the malware operators in order to gain your own valuable information. What else? I want to emphasize for the security update management. You will see about this. I know that it's hard to keep up to date, but you will see. And finally, I will start with a question. And the question is an acronym, KYE, and it comes from Know Your Enemy. And that's the question. This comes from an article from the honeynet.org, the well-known site for honeypots and all that stuff, that they have posted an article about knowing your enemy. So my question to you, and of course I will provide an answer during the end, is do we need to know our enemy? We'll see. Now, from our goals to the cyber criminal goals, what I've managed to do, and I've brought to show you here exclusively only for you, I have managed to steal to take some snapshot from a conversation between two very well-known cyber criminals, and I will share with you in order to get an understanding of what exactly they're trying to do. So here are two very well-known cyber criminals, and let's watch their discussion. Yes, what are we going to do tonight, brain? And the answer is always the same. The same thing we do every night. Try and take over the world's money. That's it. That's a clear target. That's the only task that we need to work. Not, of course, we, the cyber criminals. So let's move on and see how they do it. But before we move on to the first demo, let's see how exactly the data that I'm going to show you have been gathered. So yes, know your enemy through honeypots. Honeypot is a really useful tool of knowing your enemies. Honeypot is an exposed computer system. You build a Windows XP, a Windows 7, a Windows Server, a Windows whatever system. You expose it to the internet. And what I mean by exposing is that you publish some of the services, like SMB, like RPC, or whatever other service, FTP, on the internet. Then you monitor the operating system and the network. And after all that, you gain really valuable data to do your analysis and understand what exactly they are doing. So all the data that I'm going to show you after now is coming. Most of the data is coming from honeypots, and some of the data, as you will see, I will reproduce some of the environments that they've been using. So let's move on to our first demo. And what we have here? We have an FTP server, and it's a default installation of an FTP server on a Windows Server 2003 with the latest updates, security updates, and with the latest service pack. And the administrator has this well-known password. We know this password, I guess, for ages now. So, and the FTP service is published on the internet. So let's see what's going on. Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to show you. From this honeypot, I'm going to show you a network trace. You know what the attack was going on, and we gather some network data in order to analyze. And what we see here, I will help you to get a better picture. What we see here, we see an attacker IP address, and this is a public IP address, and this is my honeypot IP address. This is a private IP address because it belongs into a private network, etc., etc. So what happens here? Here is an FTP server, and this attacker is trying to find, to guess the password. As you can see from here, Here you see user administrator, and the server comes back and says, okay, give me the password. Password this one. User administrator again, and password this one, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. And what exactly you are seeing right now is what exactly is happening most probably in all of your public services out there on the internet. Because all the time they're trying to find some vulnerabilities, either it's a password vulnerability, either it's a configuration vulnerability, like a missing update and all this stuff. And all the time they're trying to guess the password. So what we see here, you will see that the list is very long. If I just do this on the Wireshark and follow the TCP stream, you will see that in red, in order to be more clear to you, in red, the fonts in red are the attacker, and the fonts in blue is our own side, the FTP server side. So you see the attacker is trying a lot of passwords, really long list. I really like sometimes, you know, to share this information with customers, because I can see here, for example, some very well-known used passwords from customers or from people like us, which is bad, of course, but we do such things. Something like that. See, other thing and other thing. Okay, and then the attacker was keeping on and trying many, many, many passwords. Okay, but let's see what happened. Let's first of all apply a quick filter and see how many passwords he tried at last. So as you can see down here, the attacker threw a very short amount of money. He tried 5,500 passwords in a very short amount of time, of course. Okay, but the point here is, if you remember from the demo description, is that the MyFTP server was using a very well-known password. So the point is, what happened with my password? So let's do this. And search for this string. Okay, and as you can see here, exactly here, once more, user administrator, and now the correct password. So what we have up to now, the attacker has gained what you can say root access of my system. He has managed to gain the password of my administrator account. What else could he want? So let's see what he did. So if we move down, okay, let's move down quickly. Yeah. And this is what we care about, especially this one. So you see, user administrator, password, the correct password, and of course the FTP server comes back and says, user administrator logged in, successfully logged in. And then the attacker does this, RMD, SARC, EXO, something like that, access denied, bye-bye, never come back. What happened here? I mean, from the attacker on view, from the attacker perspective, he managed to have my user administrator password. What else could he want? And you know what was strange to me on the first time that I did analysis on this data? That he didn't try to do any RDP connection, any other connection to any other service using these credentials that he already had. So why do you think he did so? Why do you think he did so? Any ideas? Okay, let me help you a bit, and let me remind you what exactly this command means. RMD in the FTP commands means remove directory, just delete a directory. Now things, I think, are getting more complex, because he's trying to remove a directory without even listing the directories. So it's the FTP server that it's the first time for him logging in, gaining access, and he tries to remove a directory without even listing the contents of the directory. Any ideas now? It's more complex, but any ideas? Okay, the point behind this is that he tries to filter, to be more specific, the response. Why this? Because by default, FTP servers are read-only, even for administrators, by default. So if my FTP server was not read-only, and it was read and write only, read and write for the administrator, then the response would not be access is denied, but would be directory not found or file not found. So now you get the point, what exactly they're trying to do? They're trying to find a writable FTP server. A writable FTP server. And this is many times what I'm saying to customers and what I'm sharing with other IT pros, that it's not all the times that they will try to bring down your service. Many times they will try to just use your service. You will use your own service, and they might use it without even you know about it. So in our case, as you can see, they try to find a writable FTP server, And I guess that you can even understand by now the reason. They try to upload some files over there and do whatever they like to do. Okay, so let's move on. It seems like this demo has finished without an end, and this is correct, because this demo is totally associated to the next one. Where the next one is this. Oh, yes, I love this one. If you ever type in a search engine on the internet, could allow remote code execution, you will get a lot, and I mean a lot, security updates. And of course, I don't mean Microsoft security updates, I mean generally security updates. Java security updates, Adobe security updates, all of the kind of security updates. But the point is that if we as people see a lot of times could allow remote code execution, could allow remote code execution, you know what happens, at least what I believe, on the first time, we are afraid. On the second time, yes, we still are afraid, but maybe a bit less. So imagine what will happen after 100 times, after 1,000 times that we have seen a new security update that could allow remote code execution. The security update, of course, that patches the vulnerability. So after some time, this will get normal to us. And we say, okay, we have some updates that we haven't installed and they are patching a vulnerability that could allow remote code execution. Yes, but what exactly this means? Let me show you. So we close for now the FTP server attack, but you will see that it's totally connected to the next one. So what we see here, we have here a Windows XP system, which again is a honeypot and is exposed on the internet, etc. And the service that is exposed on the internet is called the SMB service. The SMB service, and it's nothing else than the port 445, the well-known port that was used by Configure and many, many other vulnerabilities. Okay. So what happens here? Again, we see some other pair of IP addresses right now. Our attacker IP address in this case is 125.5.61.100. And again, our honeypot has a private IP address. So what we see up to now is that here is totally correct. Of course, we don't plan to do any network monitoring training here, but I can tell you for sure that this is totally correct. The attacker is using correctly, exactly, the SMB protocol as it used to be, as it has to be used. Okay, so it just connects to the SMB server on this Windows XP machine, executes some commands, and then, after a while, here you can see the first strange thing. Sorry, let me do it a bit different. Oops. Okay. You see what? This is my Windows XP system. This is my exposed, my vulnerable system, and it goes out without anyone working on this system and performs some DNS queries. It tries to find this FTP server. FTP, I don't know if it's FTP. I can guess from the name. Okay. But as you can see, it tries to find us an IP version IP version 6, and then as an IP version 4 DNS record. And of course, it gets a response, it gets the IP address of the FTP server, and it performs after a while the FTP connection. So the question here is, nobody was working on this system. The system was exposed, someone connected on the system, and the system, after some milliseconds, attempted a connection on an FTP server and performed some things. That's strange, but let's see what happened. This packet here, this frame here, is the last one that was sent from our attacker. And you can see from the length, it was only 821 bytes. Very, very small information, you could say, very small amount of information. So let's move a bit deeper. And you could see that the data that was transferred through this SMB conversation is only 676 bytes. It's, again, it's getting smaller and smaller. So what I'm going to use right now, I'm going to use a feature of Wireshark and I'm going to export the binary data, this 676 bytes, I'm going to export it as a binary file and nothing else. And let's name it, just take it binary, okay. And that's the one. And now, what I'm going to show you, I'm going to use a very well-known tool in the security, in the malware researching community, which is called libemu. It comes from the Linux community and has been ported to the Windows community, and it's really useful, and it allows you to analyze shell codes. Let me show you what you can do. I think I have opened already the command prompt. Okay, so let me show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to execute the libmu file against the binary data that we just executed. Oops. And we call it not Tekkit Europe, we called it Tekkit Bina. Okay? So let's see what will happen. Oh, that's it. That was pretty strange, but have a look here. This is what is hidden inside this shell code. And that's why we're calling this a shell code, because it's a code that it gets executed on a shell. Okay, so that this is pretty obvious. And what you see here, you see here that through the vulnerability that was exposed, that should not, of course, be exposed, but through the vulnerability that was exposed, the attacker managed to pass this command to our own vulnerable system. And what this command says, open and then close a command prompt and echo some information, some orders, to be honest, some orders to a file. So look what it says here. Open this FTP serocco.mine.nu, port 21, and echo this into a file called double I, just double I. They're using very simple or very strange names in order to make analysis in most of the cases more difficult, as you can understand. And then echo some user 1 and 1, echo get doc.exe, and let me continue. And here, echo by. By is the command of the FTP just quitting. And after all, just execute the FTP, the well-known FTP client which is built on every Windows system. FTP, by using this file, you see, using the commands that are included in this file. After you execute it, delete the file called double I, and then, of course, execute the file that was just downloaded. This is exactly a very typical example of remote code execution. This is exactly what they're doing in every vulnerable service that allows remote code execution. They can pass whatever command they like. Of course, in most of the cases, they are using other vulnerable systems in order to attack you, and then they guide your vulnerable system in order to download some files from somewhere else. Because the shell code, the bad thing with the shell code is that it has a very small amount of storage. You can be up to 500 bytes or 1,000 bytes. So you don't have too much space in there in order to put your payload. So what you do, you guide your victim, you guide your vulnerable system to the host that you want in order to download and execute and do whatever it does. So in order to prove the story here, you can see that the DNS query was performed, and if I follow the stream here and just read the data, you can see that user one with password just one, and of course that's a passive FTP connection, and download the file doc.exe, and after that it will be executed. So in order to summarize this demo, what we saw is that here we had a vulnerable system that was vulnerable and unpatched with a security update that is not allowing this remote code execution, but because the patch was not installed, remote code execution was enabled and some other attacker used it and infected us. Okay? To be honest, up to the end of this network trace, up to the end of this whole operation that we're watching right now, the system is not yet infected. And what I mean by infected is that the file, the doc.exe file, is not yet executed. So up to any file gets executed, the system is not yet infected. It's vulnerable. It's still vulnerable. This is a small distinction you can make in your mind when you do such an analysis. Okay. And of course, what else I wanted to add is that You can imagine from the first demo that this FTP server, that the file doc.exe might not be a malware FTP server, might not be an FTP server that was set up by some cyber criminals. This might be our FTP server that had some configuration issues like the previous lab. Because if you remember in the previous demo, the FTP server was vulnerable because of a very easy password. So what do? They upload the file on my FTP server and they guide the vulnerable system, the vulnerable client system, to download from that vulnerable FTP server. So now you start also to get a very good picture, I would say, in your minds, how exactly they work. Because up to now, what you have seen, there might not be any cyber criminal IP in there. What we see up to now might be only our IP addresses. The victim, that the victim is sitting on his home, the victim PC, and our FTP server that is hosted somewhere but is vulnerable. So, let me switch on. And now the story continues, and we go to the botnets. And what exactly is a botnet? In most of the cases, we distinguish botnets between types and what kind of types, the protocols that they are using in order to communicate, and who communicates with whom. In most of the cases, we have a CNC server, which is in most of the cases called a command and control server, the server that controls the botnet, the server that controls the army, and the server, of course, that sends commands to the victims. So we mainly distinguish these botnets into IRC-based. This is very old. This is really very old. The IRC-based botnets are using the IRC protocol, as you might already understood. This is really used by many script kiddies out there. They play a lot of times in order to see what kind of vulnerabilities, how many systems they can infect, and all this stuff. When I say, of course, script kiddies, I mean that people that do not have too much knowledge. They just download some software they find on the internet and they play around with this. But bear in mind that even though that they don't have too much knowledge, they can cause to us or to you or to anyone really good damage. And what I mean by really good damage is not always, in my point of view, it's not always by taking down your system. In many cases, it would be like taking down your reputation, taking down your company's reputation. What will happen if someone learns that 5% of my clients have been infected and are now member of a really very good botnet that sends spam or whatever? So even though that they have been built by script kiddies, this doesn't mean that they are not dangerous. The other ones is that HTTP-based, which are really more dangerous. And why they are really more dangerous? Because HTTP protocol is used everywhere, almost everywhere. HTTP protocol, in most of the cases, is allowed. Outgoing connections from our own corporate network is allowed to connect to other HTTP servers. And as you will see, they are using exactly the protocol HTTP as it is described in the RFCs and all this stuff. So there's no problem with this one in order to block it or whatever. And the last one, which we can call them, all of them, other. They are using, in many cases, UDP, the Aurora botnet, the botnet that managed to steal some information from Google itself, and the Mariposa that did a lot of, they managed to gather, to steal a lot of money from customers, bank customers, etc. They were using the UDP protocol. So, if you want to get a better view here, what we see here, I guess you can see the mouse, yes, here is the victims. Here are the Windows XP system that we just monitored before that was missing a security update and got infected. Here is a control server, and we will see one later. And here, as you can see also, the more victims are being hunted by the already victims. So that's a good story for the criminals, because they don't go out and hunt other victims. They don't go out and write their own IP addresses, their own credentials, their own whatever on your logs. No, in most of the cases, there are other victims, and in most of the cases, there are other victims that they don't know that they have become a botnet. So in most of the cases, what they do, they hunt other victims, and then, since the control server controls this whole army, it can sell, and this is what it does, it can sell the resources to the black market, to spammers, to whatever, to do denial of service attacks or whatever, and it can sell this army and perform many, many activities. Okay, just remind some denial of service attacks that happened. I will show you how exactly a spam is going on, and et cetera, et cetera. So, let's move on to our Windows XP system that we have left it at the point that it managed to download the file from the FTP server. And now I think it's time to see what happened after the doc.exe file managed to execute. And that's the one. First of all, a DNS query. Yes, I want to connect to this one. Oops. Sorry. Yes. So, a DNS query. Yes. Sorry. Okay. So yes, give me the address of this one, which is pretty strange. In other cases, and in many cases, they try to use some names that are very similar to very well-known names. I remember always the attack that was using not the myspace.com, but the myspace with a double E in the end, .com. They try, you know, they try to use similar names to the real ones in order to get undetected from IDS, from ours, or from us or whatever. So what we see here, we see that our victim tries to find an IP address from a public server, and after a while, it does this. And what is this? This is IRC. You see, this is an IRC channel that requires a password in order to connect. So this is not a public IRC channel, but my Windows XP system connected to the IRC channel because it already knew the password. It got a nick, and the username, as you can might guess already, says something to the attacker, says something to the botnet operator about my Windows operating system, about my operating system, about the country that I'm coming for, etc., etc., etc. And after it did what it did, it joined a channel. Here it joined a channel, and here is the good part. Oops. Exactly here. In most of the cases, what they do, when you used to set up an IRC channel, you can, as an administrator of the IRC channel, you can set up a subject. So you can say that my IRC channel is called whatever, football, and the subject here is my favorite football team, whatever this, maybe Real Madrid in this case. But in our case, in our botnet, IRC botnet, you can see that the subject is this one. And the subject, as you might already understand, is like, go out and scan all this class A network. Go out and scan all these 85.x.x.x machines. So this is what happens. The victim connects to the CNC server, to the command and control server, and the first command that it gets is, go out and bring me more victims. That's very good, because the IP address, everything from the criminal operator is not found anywhere. Okay, so let's see if this is what follows here. And if you take a close look here, you will see that my victim at this time was 109.2 other private IP address, was trying to connect to, yes, 85.x.x, 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 and it was trying to connect to the SMB service, and the reason and the target was very simple. Bring me, as I said, more bots on this army that I have already. This is a very good business they are doing, if you understand already, because in most of the cases, you might not find any trace of them. You will find traces from other victims and other poor people that their own Windows system, their own computers have been infected and try to infect more and more and more. Of course, if you see, it continues and continues and continues, and it goes on like this. So this is an IRC, this was an IRC botnet. Okay, so the point that maybe, or the question that might come in your mind is, what comes after this? I infected my systems, these systems are bringing more and more systems, it's almost like a pyramid model, and what I'm going to do with them? Let's see. Let me show you another IRC botnet that was used for what else but spreading spam on the world. Okay. Now, this is something different, and the DNS query, as you can see, is something different. This is very well known. At least it used to be very well known for an IRC botnet, this domain name, I mean. And after a while, you will see that if I just show you this IRC communication, you will see that the command, the subject, if you remember, in this IRC botnet is pretty clear. Download. Of course, I didn't know that this is download, but I can make some, let's say, secure guesses from what I'm seeing here. So it says download this ngf.exe file and, of course, execute this after a while. So also, you might consider and you might think here, and that's true, that This is very good business because, as you can see, they can all the time send new commands. So let's say if I have a botnet, a large botnet, and this day I got a job to send some spam, then I will use this ngf.exe file, which is supposed to send out some spam. But after a week, if I get a new job, and this job might be to perform a denial of service attack, I will change the subject, I will change the command and download another tool and execute this. This is very modular. This is very modular, and this is what they're doing. And that's why in most of the cases, the payload is different from the infection. I infect you, and then I can send you whatever payload I like. Whatever payload I like on this specific period of time that I want to do my job. So, after this, let's move on, and you will see that this, of course, command is executed at the moment from our bot and goes out and download the file, the executable file from this web server. This is the executable that's been... And if I search for this word, yes, after all the files that have been downloaded from this system, after a while it starts doing its job. And what exactly this job means? That's the That's the text inside the email, and the subject is here. See? So it's pretty obvious. It got from an HTTP, from a web server, the payload, the executable file. After a while, it got the list. It received the list of the email addresses that he wants to send the spam, and then after a while, it started sending out the spam. So again, the question is the same. If I go and monitor and see the logs on my SMTP server, am I going to see the cyber criminals' traces? No. In most of the cases, what I'm going to see over there is the IP address of some victim, of some home computer, of some corporate computer that is used to send out spam. Yes. And now here comes the question. Let's say that we want to do some further analysis because, yes, we saw that they're doing their attacks, they're doing a lot of things, they're doing a lot of smart things in most of the cases. They are using web servers, FTP servers to upload their data, and then they're guiding, they're giving orders to the victims to go out and download all these files. So what I'm going to show you right now, I'm going to, maybe let me put it another way. Let's say for a moment that we all here are the authorities. And what I mean by authorities, I mean maybe the Spanish police, the Interpol, the FBI, whatever kind of authority you can think about. And let's say that someone comes to you and say, okay, I have some information, some traces for you in order to go out and find these cyber criminals and put them in jail at last and stop all this spamming. And you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you the IP address. I'm going to show you from the previous network trace the IP addresses of the IRC CNC server, the two IRC servers that were used during the commands, and the two web servers that were used during downloading the file. Now stop for a moment and think how easy it is for you or for the authorities in order to track these guys down and put them in jail. In most of the cases, these two web servers, which are located in Russia, but these two web servers in most of the cases are already legitimate web servers that nobody knows and have been somehow, some criminal somehow have gained access and uploaded some files. So you should start from here, and of course you should contact the local authorities in order to get some cooperation and start tracking down the criminals. In other case here, for the two IRC servers, also it might be the same. And what I mean by the same, it might be the case that you need to cooperate with the local authorities, the Chinese authorities, in order for them to give you some logs, to find the administrators, etc., etc., etc. So you can see that they are really spread it, the cybercrime is really spread it on the globe. And in most of the cases, they can hide their traces very well. You know what happened? Before the internet, they were using a lot of guns. They were using a lot of violence. But this meant blood. This meant people dying. But when we gave to people and, of course, to criminals the internet, we gave them a gift. We gave them a really good gift. Because you see, as you can see here, no borders, no nothing. I'm doing my business from the ex country. This might be Russia, Greece, or whichever country, and my customer is on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, or wherever. So I'm not saying, of course, that internet is bad, but internet is very good for cyber criminals, as it's very good also for us. They can hide their own tracks and they can gain a lot of money without, as I said before, violence and all the stuff that they were using to do. So as you can see, yes, it's, at least in my mind, it's really difficult in order to track them down, and in order, if you read tomorrow in the news that another botnet was taken down, I think now you can imagine how difficult it was for the authorities to track them down. So let's move on. They evolve and they try all the time to create better and even better services. And this is something I call exploitation as a service. This is the one, the as a service is very famous today, but exploitation as a service is very famous on the cyber criminals. And what exactly is this? It would be very nice, very really nice to have an automated way to exploit many systems. But automated, okay, not manual, just scan this one and scan that one and et cetera, et cetera. But what we need the victim, me, you, whoever, we need the victim to connect to the kit. I'm going to explain what exactly I mean by kit. And of course, after the victim connects to the kit, it will be scanned for any vulnerabilities. And what we have? Successful exploitation, which of course means malware infection. And what is all this? These are the exploit kits. What are the exploit kits? A very nice, example I give to people is what is exactly Windows update system, the WSUS service. In the WSUS service, we have a Windows system connects to the WSUS server. The Windows system is being scanned for any missing security updates. And if I find any missing security updates, not me, the WSUS server, it will be sent over to the victim, to the client in our cases. So the exploit kits are the opposite. The victim connects to the exploit kit. The victim is being scanned at that time for any vulnerabilities. And if any vulnerability was found at that time, then I can exploit it and I can send my malware or whatever I like. Okay. And as I said before, let me show you some ways of attracting victims. Oh, yes. This singer died the other day, so if you would like, and a lot of people like, to see the video of your last minutes, click on here. This one died, so the spam mail, the phishing mail was sent out, so if you want to see the last moments of these people, so then click on this link. Yes, do you want to see Osama Bin Laden last minutes? Yes, click on this link. You can see here, social network, email. So you see now why the victim goes to the attacker, and not the attacker goes to the victim. Oh yes, this is happened to a lot of actors. The other day it was some other Hollywood actor, but as it's supposed to say here, that Mickey Rourke died in a snowboard accident. Very bad. Of course, he didn't die, but if you saw some interest and clicked on some of the links to see what happened and any videos and all that stuff, you would be guided to an exploit kit. And one that is very, very well known is the MySQL.com. MySQL.com is a very well-known site for the product that is called MySQL. So last year, they managed to infect the MySQL.com, and as I said in the beginning, they didn't bring down the service. No, the service was up and running. But what they managed to do, they managed to inject this JavaScript. A JavaScript here, which was doing something like this. Was forcing your browser, your visitor browser, so when you were connected to the MySQL.com root page, your browser was forced to open a frame of 10 pixels height and 10 pixels width. Of course, it was hidden, as you can see here. But as you can see here, the source was telling to your browser to go over there and connect to another web service. So what was happening to you? You were going to that exploit kit because behind this address, it was an exploit kit that was set up in a very smart way. So your browser was going over there, it was getting scanned, and if we found any vulnerability on your browser, or on your system, on whatever, we will send you the payload that we would like. This is the last one. You can say that it's more sophisticated. Because in most of the cases, as you saw before, these are for the masses. These are for the people that are interested reading on Facebook or reading some spam emails or whatever. But this one can get very sophisticated, and it has been used in cases of big companies when they want to do very, very targeted attacks. And how exactly they do it? They start like this. Let's say that they want to gain some information from Microsoft. So they start to build the profile of some Microsoft employees. And what I mean by the profile, they start to see what exactly I like. Let's say that the target is me in this case. So they start to build a profile of what exactly I like. Let's say that I like football, let's say that I like some other activities. So after this, what they're going to do? They're not going to attack my own system, but they're going to attack the systems, the web pages that I use often. And the next time that I will use one of these web services because I like soccer or whatever, then my computer will be scanned and I will get, if it is lucky for them, if I've missed some of security updates or some misconfiguration, I will get infected. This is a very, very targeted attack, and has happened in most of the cases for governments and really large organizations and specific organizations. Okay. So, enough with the theory. Let me show you how exactly this all works. Oops. So, what I have here, I have two exploit kits installed on a system. And as you can see from the first page of the first one, this has the name of a woman, Eleonor XP, EXP it's called. And as you can see, this is no different from a typical web service. But of course, they are proud and they are using authentication system. So let me log in because I'm the operator of this system. And of course, every business needs to have very good statistics, because if I don't have statistics, what I'm going to do? So here I see that one operating system was connected to me, was guided to me, and too bad for me, I was not able to infect this one. You see here, it was using a Firefox browser, and it was not infected because there was no vulnerability found on this system. So here we have the statistics. In order to gain a better understanding of the business model they are using, have a look here what it says. It says reseller. Okay, that's very good. I'm starting my own business. Why not having some resellers? Why not expanding the business? So let's do it right now. So resellers, and create a new seller, and I call it Teket Europe, and I will send him a message. Okay. And when I click send, what I get here, I get two links. This is the link for traffics. And what this means, that I want you, the reseller, to get this link and guide as many victims you can on this link. As long as they connect to that link, they will be scanned from my exploit kit. And as long as they are vulnerable, of course they will get infected, etc., etc. And of course, in order to know how much money each one makes, we need also the statistics for this specific reseller. So let's move to a more live demo here, and let's move to another exploit kit, which is called Crime Pack. And as you can see from the start screen, it's very obvious what they're trying to achieve. Let's log in again. Here again is a different view of the statistics, how many Windows systems, what kind of browsers, etc., etc. we have here. I can refresh. I again have here referrers or resellers, as the other exploit kit was calling it. And so let's move on to the settings. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. That's the solitaire, the well-known solitaire that is on every Windows system, I guess. You can see. Okay, very nice. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to upload this file to my exploit kit and then guide the Windows vulnerable system to this exploit kit and see what happens with the solitaire. So, let's upload the sol.exe file here. Upload, yes. Save settings. Here is the list of the exploits or of the vulnerabilities that this exploit kit supports. and let's go to our victim. Okay, so here's the victim. And if you remember from before, the only thing that my victim needs to do is this. Just connect on this link. And as you can see, first of all here, this is a PHP file, no executable, no nothing. So let's see what will happen when our victim connects over there. Yes, connected, and of course, solitaire. Very nice. Of course, as you can imagine, this was a demo. In real occasions, there will be no solitaire. There will be some kind of game, but not for you. Game for them, maybe, and more money for them. Okay? So what happened here? Our victim connected, somehow connected, through a link that was posted on Facebook, through a link that was posted on some portal, or through a link that was sent to him by email, or whatever. So he connected to the exploit kit. The exploit kit scanned for any vulnerabilities and managed to send the payload. And of course, if we go back to our exploit kit and look again at the statistics, you will see that we have 100% of success. And what this means? That one hit and one successful load. Very good. That's a business that starts to bring some money. Okay. Yes. Money, money, money. But, as you can imagine, there are more than 50 exploit kits out there right now. The most well-known is the black hole exploit kit. This is one of the exploit kits that nobody has managed up to now to get the code, to see how exactly they do what they do. And the black hole exploit kit is very popular. Why? Because it gets regular updates for any regular vulnerabilities that have been out there. So if you hear that in most of the cases a new Java or a new Adobe vulnerability, zero-day vulnerability was found, it's most probable that the black hole exploit kit or some other exploit kits will support it. And if your computers, if your systems connect over there, then they will be infected. Okay. And in order to see the model that they're using, this one was taken from an underground forum that they're trying to sell more exploit kits and all that stuff. And you can see that they provide some annual license, some half-year license, 3 months, some crypto in order to encrypt the data they are sending. I can give you 7 days, a week, a 2 week, 3 week, 4 week, even a 24-hour test. So as you can see, yeah, they're trying to do their business very, very well and expand what exactly they are doing. So let's move on to more sophisticated botnets that are using the HTTP protocol. The very well-known that I'm going to show you also is the Zeus. Some other variant is the SpyEye, which is a variant of Zeus. They took the code, the source code of Zeus when it leaked out, and they created the SpyEye. And they also created the Carberb. This is the fourth one listed over there. And the Carberb, it's very strange to say it. That one, the source code of this one was leaked 3 or 4 days ago. So this means when I'm saying that the code, the source code, the C code, you know, was leaked out, this means in most of the cases that we're going to see a lot of variants. Because other people are taking the code, maybe they're going to do some other things in the code and all that stuff. The Citadel, is the last one, is also very well known because the Citadel was Citadel botnet was taken down maybe 1 month ago. If you've heard that, we managed to steal a lot of money. So let's see what exactly they can do. This one is taken from our last year that we managed with cooperation with the FBI to bring down a Zeus botnet, one of the Zeus botnets, okay? Because as you can imagine, Zeus is a software, but it has a lot of botnets because a lot of people is using this. And as you can see here, the infection rate, yes, it might get bad or not, but this was not so bad, you can say, but the money that was, the hits that you, that were made out, as you can see, were 83 millions. So it's not that 83 millions, but the number of computers, the unique computers were 27,000. It's a lot of them. And of course, as you can imagine, it was only for 13 days. So for only 13 days, 83 million people, 83 million hits they had really many clicks, and out of them, there were 27,000 computers. Very nice. Very nice business. These are two very good links in order to help you if you want to see what exactly is happening with the Zeus and all that stuff. And let me show you this. What exactly is the abuse.ch Zeus tracker? This system is trying all the time to keep updates of command and control servers out there on the internet. What you see down here in the map are not infected systems. These are the command and control servers which are spread on the world right now. Okay. Something to notice here is also this. Even though that we are on 2013. You can see that the antivirus detection rate goes to 38%. That's why I'm always saying that antivirus is not the solution. Antivirus by its own is not the solution. Antivirus is part of the solution. So it should be a more holistic solution and not just buy the most expensive, the most secure antivirus, or buy the most expensive, again, I meant the most secure firewall and I'm feeling secure. It's not that easy. Okay. And let me show you also an example. This is, as you can understand, this live right now. So let's visit my country and you will see, oh, yes, we have a CNC server in Greece. Very nice. You know, with all this crisis and all these economic problems, why not make some money the other way? It will always be money. Sicilia and Italia and all that stuff. So let's see what is going on here. Oh, you see the host? Does this sound, maybe not sound, does it read like malware? No. Let's see. It's called, let me zoom again. It's called Hermes, you know, the well-known god, Hermes tour.gr. Let's see what's going on here. Let's visit the site. Do you think it's safe? Let's see. Ooh, very nice. Some Greek letters here, but as you can understand, this is nothing less and nothing more than a tour broker. Okay? That's a tour office, nothing else. So what's going on here? That's strange. Know what's going on? Some kind of cyber criminal managed to find a vulnerability on this web server and managed to upload the files on this web server. So if you go out there and want to visit Greece, which of course I would say you do, but if you go and click your tickets through this Hermes tours or whatever, that you might not be aware of this, you might also be scanned for some other stuff. Okay? Don't bring any malware to Greece, of course. Just try to be safe. So you see, this is a totally legitimate site. A totally legitimate site. And of course, if again, think like the authorities, and I give you the IP address of this server, what are you going to do? You're going to take these guys to the jail? The Hermes tour? No, I don't think. They're just selling some trips. You see, this is Corfu, this is Rome, and some other stuff. This is not bad. But they were not aware of this. So I guess that nobody wants this to happen on his own site. As I understand right now, if any of you would like to come to Greece, of course you would not visit this site in order to buy tickets. This is what I meant by reputation in the beginning. It's not that their own service is down. No, it's that from now on, I don't trust you. And maybe your stock goes down and whatever goes down. So let's see how exactly a botnet works. Let's revert this machine to the previous occasion. And let me continue with this one. Yes. So, what I'm going to show you in this demo, I love Adobe. And of course, I like sophisticated botnets. Yes. Who doesn't? They're very smart. So, what we have here, let me first of all show you. Yes. This is a Zeus command and control server. And again, as you can see here, this is very easy for someone to operate. That's why I also mentioned during the description of my session that don't expect that you need too much knowledge in order to become a cyber criminal. No, the knowledge is only from the guys that are researching this one or writing the code for this. But the people, the mafia, you could say, that are using this, they don't have any knowledge. That's why you can see so, let's say, easy GUI interfaces, to graphical interfaces in order to be used, or something like that that is more fashion or more interesting. So let's connect. So it's so easy, as you can see here. We can see the dates, the summary, the operating system, everything. And as I used to say, everyone can operate this one. Everyone. You don't have to be a computer, an IT pro or whatever in order to operate this. Okay. So let's find out if we have any bot. Oh, yes. In my botnet, I only have just one. Okay. And this was made for me in order to do some tests, and it was called Orion. But let's do some real demo now. So let me open just again Wireshark in order to show you in the background what exactly is happening. Okay. Okay. And let's just monitor only the communication between me and the CNC server. Let's open this. And that's a typical PDF file. As you will see, I'm opening, of course, I'm opening this file with a vulnerable version of Adobe Reader. And as you can see, okay, it closed because it had a malware or whatever it had inside. No executable, just some JavaScript code, nothing else. Okay, it opened, it took advantage of the vulnerability, and let's see what happened. Oh, you see what happened? I just opened. Let me show you. I only opened a PDF file, but what happened? My system went and downloaded an executable file, and after a while downloaded something that seems like configuration file. And this only happened through a PDF file. And this, of course, happened because my Adobe Reader was vulnerable and was not properly updated to the latest version. So what has happened up to now? Is this. Oops. You can see in the summary, this is the CNC server, and you can see in the summary that I have two and online one. So, oh yes, I'm starting to get some hits. Not yet. Yes. And let me show you this. Here, Pollux. Pollux is called this system. This system is called Pollux. So as you can see, I get the name, and let's see how sophisticated this botnet is. Oh, great. I can even get some screenshots. So imagine what will happen if a botnet operator finds out that his victim is using Wireshark. He will think, okay, I got an advanced user here, but who cares? Money is always money, from advanced or from a normal user. Oops, sorry. Let me just minimize this, and let's take another screenshot. Okay, now he doesn't do anything. So let's wait. One of the first things that the bots are doing is just downloading on the CNC server the cookies. And why exactly they're doing? Because of cookie-based authentication and because cookies contain a lot of things. You know, Google and other engines on the internet, through cookies only, they can track where exactly you have been, what exactly you are doing, and everything else. Okay, through cookies, in most of the cases, as a friend of mine told me, who is the guy that can get you the best present for you, the best gift for you? It's Google, of course, or Bing, because they know exactly what you like. They know exactly what you search on the internet. It's not even your wife or your husband or whatever. So, okay, let's see some action here. Also, as you can see here in the task manager of this system, no strange thing happening. This is the Adobe Reader, which I can kill it right now, but no strange thing is happening. This is Zoomit, and all of them are typical executables of Windows. But let's look here. So after our victim downloaded the executable file and then he downloaded the configuration file, it started doing some post. And you know what? In the HTTP protocol, the post is when I want to send some data on the other side. When you go on a site and you put some data on a field and you click submit, this is a post. Okay, so here you can see that my victim, this is my victim, the 3.551, sends some data to the other side. And in order to see how sophisticated and how difficult to work with this is, look at this. This is a typical HTTP post command. And what is wrong with this? This is a typical, as I said, HTTP command. So this means that no IDS, no smart firewall will catch this one. Because they don't do something strange. You do post on every search engine, and they do post also here. And look how smart they are. This is the data that was sent from our victim to the CNC server. That's the one. And if you try to read it, you will see that it's almost garbage. And why it's almost garbage? Because they are using a key to encrypt the data. So data can move out, can travel out from your corporate systems out to their CNC server, and they will travel encrypted. As you can see here in the options on the other side, here is the encryption key. So they're using the encryption key on the victim side, which was sent on the configuration.bin file, in order to encrypt all the data that coming up to me. So that's why HTTP botnets are so difficult to stop them, are so difficult also to recognize that we have an infected system and doing something strange with some server out there. But let's see how powerful they are. So let's open Internet Explorer. Stop this one, I don't care. Let's move on to eBay. I want to buy some electronic stuff or whatever. So I'm going to sign in. Oh, yeah. You are about to view pages over a secure connection. That's good. I feel secure right now. And let's put our username here and the password, which I will not share with you, of course. The question is if I want Windows to remember passwords, I don't feel secure about this, so I will select no. Of course, this is not my real eBay. And let's go back. Search in the database, nothing more, nothing yet. Why nothing yet? Because the bot is configured for every minute to send an update. And this is also configurable. If I want to be more stealthy, I could configure my bots to send back the data every 30 minutes, every whatever interval I like. So in the next post that the bot will do, it will send me some information. And let's see. Not yet. Oh, yes. You saw another post. So let's go back and do again a search. You see what we have here? eBay, etc., etc. Okay, so now I know that my victim goes out on the eBay and buys some stuff. And if we move here, you can see there is the user ID and the password. Very easy for them. And remember that in most of the cases, the attacker had made no connection to the victim. It's always the victim connecting to some server out there, which the server out there might be disguised, might be hidden, might be whatever. So let's move on to the next one. I will show you this one, okay, yes. And let's say that the account number is 3456. And now I'm going to use an on-screen keyboard. I don't want to type because of key loggers and all that stuff. Okay, so let's put something in random here. You saw I didn't use my keyboard up to now. 420577. And login. Of course, that's not correct. And if I go back here and just let's see a screenshot. Oh, the victim connected to eGold. They have also created a VNC module. There have been customers that told us that the mouse was moving by its own and making the transactions on the e-banking site. So let's do a search again to see if the post has happened. And as you can see, I have some new info here, eGold.com. And let's see what happened with this one. You see? Account ID and passphrase. So it's not any, it doesn't have to do anything with a keyboard and anything with that. They just manage to hook on the browser, and whatever information they want, they get it from the browser. And what is really good for them, and bad for us, of course, is that it's totally configurable. They can configure this bot just to send them credentials only from this and this site, very specific sites. That's why I was saying in the beginning that they can use it in very targeted attacks, and not a general attacks. So let's say that if I want, as I said before, if I want to attack a Microsoft employee, I don't care about his e-banking credentials, I don't care about his eBay or whatever. I would just, let's say, care about the credentials that he's using in order to connect to Outlook web address, Outlook web access. Okay, this is totally configurable. And as you understand, because it's totally configurable, it can get really, really stealthy. So let's move on. So, long way we've come. I think I've shown you a lot of stuff. And in order to summarize, okay, yes, what we saw, some really, really weak passwords, some really weak authentication passwords. Yes, in order to stay secure, it's not only about Microsoft, as you can understand. And you hear it all the time. It's about Java, it's about Adobe, it's about a lot of software. And of course, if you have people staying alert about exploit kits, train them, and etc., they will be more smart in order not to click everywhere. And finally, this concludes, I think, whatever I say in the three bullets here. Is it about knowing your enemy, or it's about knowing your environment? And this is my message to you. I think the point is know your environment. Know what kind of software you have over there performing, and then you will be able to secure it. I have many, many discussions with customers, and when I ask them what kind of browsers your users are using, I don't care if they use Chrome, if they use Firefox, or whatever, but what kind? Because if we know what kind of browsers they're using, then we will be able to secure them. What kind of, what versions of Adobe Reader they're using? I have seen administrators using really old versions of Adobe Readers out there. Because I know, yes, updates are hard to keep up to date, to maintain, and all this stuff. But we have to know this. Okay, so how do you expect, if you don't know your environment, to secure your environment? By knowing your enemy? No, I don't think so. Forget about your enemy at the moment and start thinking about your own environment. Start thinking what exactly you can do with your environment and how to secure it. That's it. If any question, just let me know.